Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Au revoir. Hola. Buenos dias. Guten Abend.
Wait. Isn't au revoir goodbye? Don't you say that when you're leaving?
Yes. The rest of the show is yours.
You hear that sound? That was the radios clicking off.
Oh, I'm not going anywhere. If I were going anywhere, I'd be going over to Kratzer Insurance. Because price and service mean something to me. Now, where would I go? How about Mount Pleasant Mills or Northumberland? If I needed home, auto, business, life insurance, they have it all at Kratzer Insurance. They're our Tuesday sponsor and proud of it. And we're proud to have them. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Humbles Wharf. The Kevin Hur rant of the day coming up at 4:40. Ever spectacular. Sometimes a bit bizarre.
Only bizarre to you.
I as usual, I pretty much speak for America.
Speaking for America, here's Steve Jones.
If I speak for America, America's in trouble. All right. Bill O'Brien. Now, don't expect anything earth-shattering out of this, okay? But he did meet with the media today and update how things are going in practice. And no, Kevin's kid is not on the team.
All right, where's the quarterback situation at? You know, that's the first question.
Yeah, right? No, it's very close. And I tell you, I told the team this yesterday. These are two of the best young quarterbacks I've ever coached. You know, Tyler's 19 years old and Christian's 18. And I'd say by the end of the week, we'll make a decision on who will start the Syracuse game. But, you know, I would say that both guys will play this year.
And Bill, can you kind of clarify that? Because I know before you said you weren't really a two-quarterback guy, but what do you mean by that? Is it just kind of one will be the guy for Syracuse and keep evaluating?
Yeah, I mean, I think both guys just need to be ready to play this year. The clarification.
I'm sorry, Bill. Can you kind of compare and contrast them a little bit? Does one guy do one thing better?
I don't want to get into that, Mark. You know what I mean? I think, one guy's a little bit taller, one guy's a little bit shorter.
I guess my point is, would one work better against one sort of defense than another?
They both have the ability to throw the ball down the field, to make athletic moves on the perimeter of the defense. They're both athletic, you know, even for their size. You know, both those guys can run, and so we've seen a lot of that. They can throw on the run, so they're more similar than they are different.
How's your communication been like with them? Have they responded to all the coaching well?
Yeah, I've never had more fun coaching quarterbacks than I've had coaching these two guys. I mean, they're bright guys. They work at it. They compete in practice. They've got good demeanors. You know, they've got good huddle command. So I've had a lot of fun coaching both these guys.
With Swinak's situation, Bill, can you give us an update on that?
Yeah, no, he's doing well. You know, he's ready to go. He took the red jersey off, I think it was last week. I mean, he had the red jersey on, and he was hitting guys, and the DBs, you know, they were like, well, coach, he has a red jersey on, so shouldn't he have that off if he's going to hit us? So we decided to take it off, and he's done well.
What did Bill Belton need to do to show you that he could be in the mixer?
Yeah. No, he's had a really good camp, Rich. He's had a good camp. I just want him to keep it going. He's going to play a lot of football for us this year. He's worked hard. He's quicker. He's running the ball more decisively than he did last year, and he, you know, he can catch the ball on the backfield. So he's had a good camp for us.
Did you have to have a heart-to-heart with him after last year?
Well, I've had a few heart-to-hearts with Billy. Okay. You know, I really think a lot of Billy, and I think Billy has a bright future. You know, I think he's a good kid, and yeah, I've had a few discussions with Billy.
player said they've watched a little bit of Syracuse tape. Where are you guys at right now as far as game planning?
We'll start working on Syracuse here today. That's why you guys have to leave after this. And then we'll continue to work on Syracuse through the weekend. We'll practice Saturday, and then we'll give them Sunday off. And as a staff, obviously we've done a lot of work on Syracuse. They're a very good football team, and we already have an idea of what we want to do. There's some new coaches on that staff, so it's going to be a game of adjustments. You know, it's the first game. A lot of unexpected things are going to happen, and we have to be ready to adjust. But we'll begin working on them. We already have been working on them.
We don't know who their quarterback is yet either. You find that a little ironic in the situation?
No, I'll be real honest with you. I know you guys, everybody does a great job, but I think people put too much stock into that, the naming of a quarterback, especially when there's, some good ones in the programs, that each program has good quarterbacks. And, there's other positions that are very, very important too. There's competition going on in a lot of positions here at Penn State. I'm sure the same can be said at Syracuse, and there will be 11 guys that start the game against Syracuse, but hopefully a lot of guys play. A lot of guys play in that game. We've got a fairly young team at certain positions, so we'd like to get a lot of guys playing time.
Where are you guys injury-wise though? I see some guys out there in New Jersey.
Yeah. That's Ben Klein. So yeah. Ben Klein,
he's got the shoulder deal with just trying to limit his contact on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. And then Amos, he's just got dinged up with a hamstring and then ankle. He's fine. We're just trying to limit the contact. Wilkerson's out. He'll be out for a while. He had back surgery. It went well. Brad Barr's obviously, is out. And then just the normal bumps and bruises. Nothing too major right now.
Robinson's okay?
Robinson's fine. Robinson, he's had... early in camp, all these guys have hamstring issues, and he's one of our best players, so we've just tried to do a good job of managing him on a day-to-day basis.
Bill, you said you want to name starting QB later in the week. What are you hoping to see then in these next 2-3 practices to kind of make that decision a little easier?
Yeah, I just want to keep practicing, keep getting these guys a lot of reps, and making sure that these guys see a lot of different looks and get to throw the ball to all the different receivers equally. I think they both have to be ready to do that. So, I just want to see more practice time.
Just curious, everybody names the quarterback. You don't necessarily have to. Your practices are closed. We don't know.
Thank you, Corey. I don't have to do anything you guys want
right.
me to do.
I mean, is there a benefit to naming the guy? I mean, you could be secret going into the game.
I think there was a benefit last year. I right. really believe there was, because I think you had an older guy that had been in the program for a long time. And so I felt like there was a real benefit there, because here's a guy, Matt McGloin, who had been here for going into his fifth year, and I think it was important in that situation. But in this situation, where you have two young guys who neither of them have been here very long, I think it's important for each guy to continue to earn their stripes and continue to gain the respect of their teammates. So until I feel really good about where that's at. I'd say both guys, it's very close.
Could there be a benefit to not even naming somebody and just take the field?
No, I will name somebody. I'll tell you guys, there will be a guy that runs out there and starts the first game. And the guy that's the starter is going to play the majority of the snaps, like what Audrey was asking. The guy that's the starter is going to be the starter. But I think it's important when you have two young guys. It's a totally different situation than last year. Is that, whoever the backup is a young guy that needs to get his feet wet a little bit. So why not play him a series here or there just to get him into a major college football game and let him get his feet wet? I think that's important, too.
You had a situation like that? Any of the other stops you've made?
No. I've always had, I had another really good young quarterback at Duke named Thaddeus Lewis, who still plays in the NFL, who was a really good player. And he was the only one, though, there. I mean, we had other good kids, but he was clearly the best, so we started him. And then, obviously, at Georgia Tech, I had George Gotze, who was a two-year starter there and threw for 6,000 yards. He was clearly the number one guy there. And then, obviously, Tom Brady, and then last year with McGloin. So, no, this is the first situation, and it's a really good situation for our football team.
Coach, between going from Syracuse changing coaches, how does that change your prep? Because, it's an opener, and you don't have any film on very much film to go over, right?
Yeah, well, the head coach was there. Right. He was on the staff, so, we can watch – he was the defensive coordinator, so we can watch a lot of what they did there. Then we look at some things from maybe where some certain staff members came from and things like that. But you're right. I mean, you can't really totally pinpoint and put all your eggs in one basket. You've got to make sure that you've shown your players enough during training camp that they're ready for just about everything, especially in that first game. I would say after two or three games, that's when a team really starts to get its identity. But that first game, you know, both guys are trying to figure each other out and not knowing what's going to happen is an interesting deal. And I would say the same for us. I mean, we're, you know, you guys are only here for individual. That's for a reason, you know, because I don't want guys filming what we're doing, but we're a totally different team than we were last year. We're doing a lot of different things. You know, we're very, very different.
What do you see, like, from personnel? You can look at personnel. Like, what do you see from them personnel-wise?
Yeah, they have guys back. I think they have six or seven guys back on defense, and obviously on offense, like somebody said, they'll have a new quarterback, but there's a lot of guys back on offense, including guys up front, and then they have two really good running backs that are tough. I think both guys gained 1,000 yards, so they're a very good football team. They're well-coached. I think you're looking at really two similar teams, you know, in many ways, and, you know, I just think it's going to be a heck of a college football game.
Bill, who's had a good camp at linebacker behind your starters?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Before Ben Klein kind of dinged his shoulder, he was really doing a nice job on defense and on special teams. And, you know, Gary Wooten's gotten better every day. He's gotten better every day. There's a couple of run-ons there. A guy named Adam Cole, who I think has stepped up and really, you know, laid the wood on some people in some of these scrimmages. And that's been interesting to see. So maybe, you know, is that a guy that can help us on special teams? Maybe not so much at linebacker right now, but maybe on special teams. So, you know, yeah, there's some guys there that have done well. But again, it's, you know, there isn't a lot of bodies there. I mean, you look out there and there's a lot of bodies at linebacker. But, you know, a lot of those guys just got here 2 weeks ago. So as far as guys that can actually play in games, there's probably five or six guys.
Coach, you mentioned other position battles. What have you seen at defensive tackle so far between Paul Blitz, Austin Johnson, and the other guys there?
That's been I think you have a very talented group of guys there. You have Bob Blitz, who's really played well this training camp. Austin Johnson had an excellent practice yesterday, so those guys will roll in there. Daquan Jones has been really good. He's tough to block. He's a bull in there. You also have Derek Dowry and Brian Gaia, who, you know, these two guys are tough guys. They're strong, and they've done well. So, I can see a rotation of five or six guys going in there, and certain guys will have different roles, short yardage, goal line, things like that. But, you know, I think keeping them fresh will be good, and all those guys can help us.
You were without Gress last week. Have you gotten him back yet?
Oh, that's the other one. Yeah. Gress, yeah, he'll be fine. We're kind of taking it easy with him. It was a knee, and he should be back to practice here in a couple days.
And what have you seen out of Gary in his absence?
Yeah, Gary over the last three practices has really improved. You know, it's tough. You know, when you move from tight end to tackle, that's not the easiest move. People think that that's pretty easy to do, but tight end's a little bit different now. You're releasing into passes a lot there. And so when you move from there to tackle, it's like going from, you know, catching passes all the time to about 1,000 car crashes during practice. You know, that's where it is at tackle. So he's really improved over the last three or four practices, and he's going to play a lot of football for us, and he'll help us a lot.
Do you have a starter there? Or is that too big?
You'd have to say right now that Gress would be the starter, but I think that that Gary's shown enough that we would feel comfortable putting him in there and playing him. And then you got Smith, Donovan, Smitty on the left side, you know, that'll play at left tackle. And Andrew Nelson's a freshman that we think is a really good player, but he's had a couple injury issues, you know, just bumps and bruises, so he's missed a couple practices, so he's probably falling behind a little bit. But, and then we've used Shrive at tackle and guard, you know, but Shrive's a backup, you know, and he's done some good things, but he'll play, you know. So we think we've got like nine guys on the offensive line that can play for us this year. Mac does a good job of playing a lot of guys there.
Take two more guys.
Jeff and Tony were tweeting out some stuff about you with the guys at the museum and whatnot. What went into kind of taking a
moment? Oh, last night.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I felt like it was important for these guys, young guys, older guys that have been here, to show them again the history of the program. You know, people ask us all the time, what do you have to play for? And I think you guys that have been around us every day know that we don't find any trouble. You know, we don't have any trouble figuring out what to play for. And one of the things we play for is the history of the program and all the players and all the coaches that came before us and what they meant to this place. So I took them around, and if you've never been through that stadium, the way we did it last night. I mean, it's like I said the other day, it's a cathedral. It's an unbelievable stadium. So we took them into the museum there, and then we took them out. We took them into the locker room, showed them a plaque that we have in there from John Cappelletti, something that he wrote. Then we took them basically into the Letterman's Lounge, and we talked to them about the Letterman's Lounge and how Buddy Tesler founded that and what it meant to Penn State football players and what the thought process was behind that. And then we took them down the stairs and we showed them all the murals, you know, that had all the former great players leading all the way back to Coach Higgins and Wally Triplett and all those guys that, that played back in the day. So I thought the guys got a lot out of it. It was a great night.
Hey, Bill, how's that ESPN experience been? And what do you anticipate tonight? Have you seen it?
No, I've seen, you know, I've seen the clips that they put out there. I just, you know, I hesitated a little bit with that, you know, but I think at the end of the day, I always think about our players, and I think we have fantastic guys here that represent this place very well. And so I think anytime you can get on national TV and have those cameras see these guys that play football for us, go to school, or just really great kids. I mean, I can't tell you enough what fantastic kids these guys are. Fun to coach. And so I thought that was a big part of it, and hopefully that's what comes out tonight.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Bill O'Brien's press conference from earlier today. And today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2006 Ford Explorer, 4-liter XLT, new rotors and brake lining, just $10,995. 2011 Ford Fiesta, 4-door sedan, $12,494. 2009 Honda Accord, 4-door LX, just $13,998. 2006 Pontiac Solstice, 2-door convertible, super low miles, only $15,521. 2011 Hyundai Sonata, 2.4-liter hybrid for just $17,887. And a 2010 Honda Odyssey, 5-door EXL, $22,775. Call 888-536-8017.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24-7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
All right, so Bill O'Brien not naming a starter, which was expected. And nothing but good things to say about both quarterbacks. And it's a big plus. I mean, that's a big plus. So, that's where they are at this particular stage. You, of course, have panicked.
No, I did like the fact that he impressed upon everybody there that a decision will be made. He talked about not platooning or anything like that. He said that there would be a decision made. It would probably be this week.
Well, the game is a week from Saturday, so I think at some point you have to have somebody that's in a one spot.
But I also said this yesterday. I think it must be, you know, heaven as a coach to be able to have two young quarterbacks as talented as both of these guys are and have to decide, okay, which one is better, not which one is going to get the job done.
Sure. I mean, you're not, you know, you're picking among quality. You're not sitting there and picking guys that are a step backwards for you. You know, where you're picking like the lesser of two, you're trying to pick among quality guys. And both guys have really picked up the offense really well. That's the part that I think fans should be happy about. And in a short period of time, because I mean, Tyler Ferguson's only been in the program since January. He did have the 15 spring practices. Everyone knows that he was out during the course of part of the summer. And Christian Hackenberg has only been here since late June. They both have picked up the offense. So as a play caller, when you're a play caller, you're not going to feel limited by the plays that you can call because they don't know it. you call what they have a good grasp on. Well, he actually has a wide range of things that he can call because they have a pretty good grasp on it. That's the big plus. Because one of the deals with a limited quarterback is it then limits what you can call, which then makes you very predictable and puts a high premium on quality execution to get it done. That you can't make many mistakes in some areas because these are the limited number of plays you can run. So we'll talk basketball with Dwayne Anderson, the new assistant coach of the Nittany Lions. We'll hear Bill O'Brien's press conference tomorrow. Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, who is taking personal responsibility to destroy Kevin's childhood.
He's done it many times over.
When he talks about, quote, the business of sports.
Hey, but Troy Polamalu looked pretty good last night. He was healthy.
It's August.
He was healthy.
August.
Sometimes it's just small victories, Steve.
Well, of course he's healthy. It's your month where everybody has hope. You didn't sound like you're very hopeful today.
I have hope, just dwindling sometimes.
I hope you survive the week.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. If service and price mean something to you, I think it does to everybody, doesn't it? Auto, home, business insurance. Homeowners. Life insurance, they've got it all. Well, we're coming up on the Kevin Herr rant that it's been a busy day so far with Bill O'Brien, Dwayne Anderson, and now the coup de grace, the Kevin Herr rant of the day.
Well, today we finally got word on what's happening to the Red Sox pitcher Ryan Dempster. He's been suspended 5 games and fined an undisclosed amount for intentionally throwing at and hitting Alex Rodriguez. Now, my question has to go back to the actual pitch sequence. The first pitch went behind him. The next two pitches were inside. The third pitch hit him. At that point, the umpire came out and warned both benches, thus drawing Joe Girardi out for the Yankees for a little bit of a tirade, which, by the way, he was fined for having a tirade. I'm not so sure that that fine is justified. He was now, what he said may have a lot to do with the fine. He was definitely animated, and there were definitely words that weren't able to be broadcast on radio or television, I can tell you that much, from lip reading. But the 5-game suspension, somewhat adequate for intentionally throwing. There should not have been a warning. The warning should have come after the first or even the second pitch. There should have been an automatic ejection at that point of the game, which didn't happen. Joe Girardi coming out of the dugout would have been avoided. The umpire, I think, made a mistake by not controlling the game from the first or even the second pitch that seemed to be going at the player. There, after the first or second pitch, warn both benches, it's over. Joe Girardi doesn't have a tirade, no fine, everything's settled. Maybe A-Rod still gets beaned, but Dempster automatically gets ejected. And I agree with you, Steve, when you're dealing with a pitcher, you have to understand that the 5-game suspension doesn't have the same effect as if you're dealing with a second baseman.
Right.
Pitchers don't play 5 consecutive games. This is a 1-game suspension, not a 5-game suspension. Now,
it just means the starts moved back a day.
Right. Now, if they do change this, and this is what I'm trying to find out right now, and I have not heard of Major League Baseball doing this before, but correct me if I'm wrong, it is listed as a 5-game suspension. It's not 5 games that he plays. It's right. five games that is played it's, by the Red Sox.
It's five consecutive games.
I'd like to see them change that and make it a permanent change in Major League Baseball.
No, I think you have to do it by judgment. I mean, for example, if you're suspending somebody, it's a less egregious offense, and you decide to do three games without pay. Now, they don't miss a start, but they lose three games of pay because of the severity of the offense.
But the without pay changes.
Or the lack thereof, yeah.
The without pay part changes it. There may be mm-hmm. a without pay here. I have not heard that. It is going to cost them an amount of money. That is not being talked about. But if you're right. going to suspend somebody five games and he's a pitcher, it should be five games of when right. they were scheduled to start. Now,
right.
that means that this suspension in this case probably would be almost a month, maybe not quite. So maybe a five-game suspension for a second baseman, the equivalent for a pitcher, would be a two-start suspension.
Right. And that would well, because you also have to think about the percentage of games that they miss. If I suspend a position player five games, that's five of 160. If I suspend a pitcher, right, that's you're talking about 30 starts. Now, a relief pitcher, you can suspend consecutive games because they could be in three of those five games.
That's
a little different.
I just think, and I'll grant you that I did not see the pitch sequence. I'm just going by description. But if there was one ball behind him, maybe you could make an argument that it slipped. But the next two pitches being inside, then I think at that point the umpire should have come out and said, "Listen, I don't know what you're doing, but here's your warning. Here's your warning on the other side. This is over right now. The next pitch that I deem is not appropriate, you're gone." That would have avoided a lot of this. But it was a four-pitch sequence.
Right. But Girardi, of course, his point is, and who knows what he said, his point is pretty simple. We haven't even thrown a pitch in the game yet.
Right.
You're basically telling me my guy can't throw inside?
And that's a great point. I mean, his point was that, you know, whoa, wait a minute. We haven't done anything yet, and you want to throw a warning out. We haven't even had a pitcher come out yet.
Warn them. Don't warn us.
I just think that warning should have been a lot earlier than after the fourth pitch. And I think that's right. where the tirade came in. Now, did Joe Girardi act appropriately? Probably not. But I give him credit for trying to defend his player. I mean, right now you've got a player that is red hot on every blog, on every website, on every program. I mean, he is the lead story on ESPN almost every day. I mean, he's trying to do his job of protecting his player.
No doubt. I think, like I said, I've always felt the entire time he was in the right. Now, I don't know how he phrased it. Now, how he phrased it could be.
There were a lot of words in there, again, that you could not use on radio or television.
Okay. So, phrasing may have something to do with it.
You've heard of the old lip reader's delight? That was one. Thus endeth the rant.
Right. And again, I don't. When I saw it, I was thinking, what are you doing? You're up 2-0. Win the game. Yeah, win the game.
I do have another rant, if I may.
Rant on.
I know this is a double rant, but this is timely. Last night, in watching Monday Night Football on ESPN, and I'm a big fan of the broadcast team. I want to say that clear out. But I disagree with Gruden's discussion about they were calling it the strike zone, where you would impact the player in trying to make a tackle, because there was a penalty for a defenseless receiver, helmet leading type of a play. Gruden's comment was that the receiver, who didn't actually catch the ball in the first place, was lower. So you're changing the strike zone now, and that makes it tougher for the secondary player to make the play. I think he missed the point. The point of the rule is not that they don't want receivers getting hit when they go out for a pass. The point they were trying to make is they don't want receivers getting hit in the hit with a helmet spear in the chest when there's no ball there. That's the right. That's the reason for the rule. It's not the fact that they don't want receivers getting hit. You don't lead with the helmet when you're tackling. That's right. Happening too much in the NFL. It's poor tackling style in the NFL. That's where the rule is coming from, and that's the intent of the rule. High school has a rule that I don't completely agree with either, but I understand the intent. They're saying that any time that a tackler leads with the helmet, they can be ejected from the game. I think that's a little severe in high school. Right. I think if you want to warn them and say, listen, that's not the proper way to tackle. That's what you're supposed to do at the high school level. It's instruction. That's the idea. However, right. If there's intent to do damage, if there's intent to lead with your head, which I'm sorry is going to be a very difficult thing for a referee or a back judge or whatever to make an opinion on, then maybe that's what the PIAA is referring to with the ejection. But I'll tell you right. what, you're going to see a lot of kids early in the season afraid to make a tackle right now for fear that they'll get ejected. And I think that's going in the other direction.
Right. Well, I understand that. And I think, you know, the odd thing is that when you look at, you know, that we've talked about Penn State and how they've gone, you know, a lot has been made about, you know, the not as much contact and so forth, you know, and they call it pass thuds. Okay, they call it pass thud. Pass thud is everything above the waist. It actually, in the end, teaches better tackling technique. I've seen it firsthand.
The other thing I worry about the NFL creating now is a bunch of secondary players that are going to end up breaking the legs of running backs and receivers because they're trying to hit so low that they don't get a helmet-to-helmet contact. And again, that's what's going to happen from poor tackling in the first place. You know, you're trying to improve tackling, but yet you're poor tackling in another direction or another part of the body.
Right. Well, there's no question it's a big issue. And I've felt that since the 70s, I felt tackling was going downhill in the 70s. And I haven't seen really much improvement in tackling technique. And that has been something that has always concerned me. There's been a lot of leading with the shoulders, you know, like propelling yourself as a missile to get it done. Yeah, it's hard hitting. It's aggressive, but it's a great tackling technique. It almost makes up for being out of position in some ways. And the pass thud stuff that they've been doing, and Joe did this before too, by the way. I mean, he'd actually do a personal tutorial on pass thud and what he needed to see out of it. All right. But I always felt that it at least taught, boom, take it, break down, wrap up. Proper tackling technique. Now look, I mean, you're out there, you're flying around that instinct. And as you're flying around an instinct, you're going to throw your body at people because you're trying to get to them. It's not trying to be illegal or spear or anything like that. You just have to. But there's also a proper way to do it when you're in the right position.
But my problem is a lot of these guys that are in the wrong position at every level of sport are using their body and, as you said, throwing their body out of. If you're going to do that, at least have your arms out to at least attempt to make a proper tackle. And I think that's what the problem was. This was my opinion. Last night's tackle, and I apologize, I don't remember who did it, and I just remember the flag, and I remember him discussing it. There was no, the arms were like back. It was almost like aerodynamic because the arms were back at the hips. They were not outstretched to try and make a tackle. This was, I'm going to put my shoulder into his head, chest, or wherever I'm going to hit. That's where the problem is, and that's where the lack of tackling skill is. That nobody's actually rapping anymore.
And that's what, you know, well, especially in the secondary. Obviously, you see that technique properly executed among linebackers and defensive linemen.
Absolutely, yes.
It's the secondary guys that you get very concerned about as to whether they're tackling properly or not. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Shopping for insurance to save money is not an easy thing. What if I told you there's good news for Pennsylvania residents searching to save money on homeowners, auto insurance, RVs, motorcycles, and more? What if I told you you didn't have to sacrifice local personal service? Then call or visit online the Kratzer Insurance Agency in Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland, serving the area now for 50 years.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. We are proud to offer Safeco Insurance at a very competitive rate. Some customers have saved as much as 50% off their premium.
Safeco has been around since 1923 and in 2008 became part of the Liberty Mutual Insurance, a name well known and trusted in the insurance industry. Start saving and be safe with Safeco and Kratzer Insurance.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security.
The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. If price and service means something to you, give them a call. Homeowners, auto, business insurance. Kratzer Insurance does a great job. All right, so Bill O'Brien, nothing to speak of today. I mean, it was basic. It was basic, I think. I don't think there's any surprise in there. How about that?
No, I would have been surprised if he named a starter right now. I figured it would be more like Friday.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he'll tell the team first. I mean, that's the most important part. He'll tell the team first, and then he'll let the media know.
Although I did like your answer yesterday when pressed as who you would pick as the starting quarterback.
Well, they're both under 20, so either answer is correct.
Right. How did you, what was it you said? I think it'll be a player that's under 20.
I said, youth will be served.
That's right. Youth will be served. That's right.
Right. And that could be either one. Youth will be served. So, but they've both done a good job. I'm impressed by, at their respective ages, how quickly they've grasped what Bill wants to do. And I think that's the part that, again, I don't want a quarterback that limits his ability to call a game, because he has an innate ability instinctively to call a game where he finds holes and openings and keeps a defense off balance. Well, you can do that when you have a quarterback that knows exactly what you want to do when he calls for it. Well, the plus with these two guys is they both work so hard on film study that both of them do not limit him as to his ability to say, oh, you know what, this is going to work in this situation. Oh, wait, I can't call that. They don't have a good handle on it. Now, because they both have worked so hard, he knows that, you know what, this will work in this situation. And you know what, I can call it. They, you know, whomever is out there knows it. That's big. Because limiting a coach's ability to call a game the way he wants really puts a heavy premium on execution, on the play. You really have to be more precise in the plays you call, because there are certain things you can't do. makes a big difference. It just makes a big difference. And that's what these two guys have done. They've both worked very, very hard in film study. And because of that, it gives him options. It gives him a lot of options as a play caller, which then, of course, increases your ability to throw them off balance and win the game. They went 8-4 last year. 8-4 was really good, especially considering the start, but he wants more. And I don't blame him for wanting more. That's his job to want more. And there are a lot of veterans on this team. Robinson's had a spectacular camp. I mean, I don't even think I can begin to tell you how good a camp he's had. Yeah. James has been good. Lehman's been good. Brenneman's been coming along. Carter's had a really good camp. Felder had a really good scrimmage last week. There are a lot of veterans on this team. And it turned out that the one young spot happens to be the quarterback spot. I think it's going to play out just fine.
It'd be interesting to hear from both quarterbacks, and especially Christian Hackenberg, who's coming.
You're not going to hear from either quarterback.
I know. But it'll be interesting down the road, how's that, to hear from Christian Hackenberg on how his reactions coming into practice, you know, making the transition from high school to college and some of the differences from his perspective.
Well, I mean, they're obviously going to be. I mean, this is an NFL offense. This is where, for example, in the Big Ten, they struggle with what Bill did last year. And the reason they struggle with what he did last year is he brought in an offense that people aren't playing. I mean, I haven't seen anybody run this kind of offense on the college level. I don't know about you, but I haven't.
And it's not simple. You can't be. You have to be pretty smart to be able to run it.
No, it's complicated, and it's fun. I think it's fun for the fans. I think the fans, I mean, are the ones that they got a big kick out of it. I know Jack and I got a big kick out of it last year because you just really felt. I mean, I felt every time that I was disappointed every time they didn't score. Because I thought, you know, the offense had that much to it. You know, and that's a big plus. All right, tomorrow, Tony Knopp will continue to destroy Kevin's childhood.
Yay.
With the business side of sports. We'll talk money. You hate that.
I hate money in sports. Just win the game. That's all that matters.
Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland on News Radio 1070 WKOK.